All right, the Assad regime has fallen. Damascus has been captured. And now we wonder, is the entire Middle East about to change forever? And are we now setting the stage for the formation of a coalition mentioned in Psalm 83 of nations that will come together with one intent and one objective and one purpose, and that is to remove Israel from the Middle East? We're going to cover all of this today as we give you an update on what's going on in the Middle East. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Monday, December the 9th, 2024. We want to welcome you to this afternoon's Monday broadcast. We have a special update we want to get to you. And before we get started on that, can you help us out? We want to get eyes on this on YouTube and Rumble. And you can do that by simply hitting that like button. Of course, hitting that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then take it a step further. Don't rely on social media, but get our free app. Pick it up today on Apple and Android. Just go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Download our app today. Of course, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go. Every headline, every podcast, everything right there at your fingertips. So in the last 24, 48 hours has been extremely interesting. The last time we got together, we talked about these rebel forces in Syria. They were going from town to town, from city to city in Damascus. They were capturing and taking siege of these cities, and they had their eyes and their scope set on Damascus. Well, they eventually took Damascus, and they have toppled the Assad regime. I want to show you. We've got footage and everything today, so we appreciate you guys coming on today, being part of the broadcast. This is from the U.S. Sun. Syrian rebels loot banks, ransack Assad's millions, and storm embassies after toppling tyrant as nation, quote, descends into chaos. Syrians gleefully ransack Bashar al-Assad's palace after ousting the tyrant and him fleeing the country. Syrian's government has fallen in a stunning end to the 24-year rule of Assad after rebels seized Damascus in lightning blitz. Assad fled the capital in an airplane on Sunday as the butcher's regime was overthrown by the militants in just 10 days, with his location still unknown. And we've got an update on that as well. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Thousands of Syrians took the streets in celebration, firing guns into the air, lighting flares, and waving the rebel flag. Let's get you right into some footage on this.
Just overnight, rebel forces say Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad fled Damascus as they took control of the capital, and he has not been seen since this morning.
You hear it there. The news met with celebration across Syria and beyond. The gunfire there in celebration as rebel supporters cheered in the streets and they tore down monuments to the Assad family. We have new video in this morning. It shows rebels escorting Syria's prime minister reportedly to a hotel to officially hand over government authority. Shortly before that, the prime minister released this message. He said he was ready to work with new leadership.
We are ready to cooperate with any leadership the people choose, offering all possible support to ensure a smooth and systematic transition of government functions, preserving state facilities.
The prime minister said this happened very quickly, with rebels sweeping through the country since launching the offensive last.
Look, check this out, guys. Look at all of these cities that these rebels took control of. You see the Syrian regime there in the pink, then the Syrian rebels in the green, and then the Kurdish forces are in the yellow. So here you've got this color chart here, and look how quickly they just went from the northern sections of Syria and went all the way down into Damascus and just completely took it.
Last week, and they claimed to have captured four cities in a single day before reaching Damascus. And now the rebels are questioning Syrian military officers and others trying to find Bashar al-Assad. Even they made it here, you can see, inside his palace.
Now, initial reports indicated that Assad's plane, quote, disappeared while it was fleeing Syria, sparking fears it had been shot down. However, new information has indicated that Assad has fled to Russia and what they're calling a Mideast shakeup. Let's read a little bit about this. Quote, Syrian rebels seized the capital of Damascus unopposed again over the weekend on Sunday after a lightning advance that sent President Bashar al-Assad, quote, fleeing to Russia after a 13-year civil war and six decades of his family's autocratic rule. And one of the largest turning points for the Middle East. Again, they're saying this is one of the largest turning points in the Middle East in generations. Now, I want to pull this away, guys. I want to talk to you for just a second about that. Again, always pay attention to the verbiage and the language here. So look at the events that we're seeing transpiring in the Middle East. Remember, we've always told you here, at least in our ministry, we've always told you that the Middle East is the center focal point of Bible prophecy. Jerusalem, Israel is going to be the main, I mean, it is the center focal main puzzle piece. But the Middle East, this whole region right here, is where all of the end time activity is going to take place. And think about what has happened, what has transpired over the past 12 months. Think about, again, I'm going to say that again. Think about what has transpired over the past 12 months. Israel is at war in seven fronts. They are dealing with Hezbollah. They're dealing with Hamas. They're dealing with Iran, a.k.a. Persia. And Russia has gotten their nose in the middle of that. Turkey has gotten their nose in the middle of that, because I'm going somewhere with this. And now we have another major, quote, Middle East shakeup, where in which Damascus has new ownership, new authority, a new government. Bashar al-Assad has been taken down. He's fled to Russia. Again, Russia is a major player in Bible prophecy. So this is huge news. This is why we've got to get you up to the par on what's going on here. The fall of Assad's government wiped out a bastion from which Iran and Russia exercise influence across the Arab world. Again, Iran and Russia exercise influence across the Arab world, and they will do it again. Listen, I don't care what the media says. There will come a day they will gain momentum again together. They will come together again along with other nations, and they will form an alliance with one objective and one purpose. And we're going to talk about that today. Moscow gave asylum to Assad and his family. According to Russia's ambassador to international organizations in Vienna on his Telegram channel, his sudden overthrow at the hands of a revolt party backed by Turkey and with roots in jihadist Sunni Islam, because it was predominantly Shiite, now it's Sunni. So this is why this is a civil war, guys. And by the way, you've heard us talk about this a lot of times. One of the Hadith and the Quran and the Islamic writings, when they're anticipating their Islamic Messiah, one of the things that has to happen is this civil war between the Sunnis and the Shiites. So this is all according to their their aspect. This is prophetic in nature as well. All of this limits Iran's ability to spread weapons to its allies, and could cost Russia its Mediterranean naval base. It could allow millions of refugees scattered for more than a decade in camps across Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan to finally return home. For Syrians, it brought a sudden, unexpected end to a war and a deep freeze for years, with hundreds of thousands dead, cities pounded to dust, and an economy hollowed by global sanctions. Now, I want to point out a couple things here. Remember, this whole agenda was backed by Turkey. Erdogan, he was cheering it on. He was backing it on. So you had Turkey aligning itself with these rebels to overtake Syria. And now Iran is suffering from this because Syria, again, was an extremely close ally of Iran. And this is where all this weapon exchange came from. The Iranians had been able to funnel countless shipments of arms through Syria to Hezbollah forces in Lebanon. But now that will no longer be possible for now. Look at this headline, guys. Erdogan says that he and Putin are the only two leaders in the world. So I want you to notice something here. You have Erdogan of Turkey saying that himself, along with Putin of Russia, are the only two leaders in the world. Now we know, again, Putin has an alliance with Iran. So here you have Turkey, Iran, and Russia. Here is an axis of evil, if you would. Here is an alliance, again, that is referenced and spelled right out in front of you in Ezekiel 38:39, this major war of Gog and Magog war. Now let's go down here and see what this says here. Turkish President Erdogan has said that there are only two real leaders in the world now, and they are himself and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Quote, "Now there are only two experienced leaders in the world. They are myself and Vladimir Putin. I'm not saying this because one of them is me, but I have been in office for 22 years, nearly as long as Mr. Putin. The rest are gone." Quote, "And we want our dialogue to continue. It is important to continue politics. For instance, politics ended in Germany when Chancellor Angela Merkel resigned. He also stated that he respects Germany's former Chancellor Schroeder. His degree of respect for us was absolutely different, and he was a good leader indeed. For instance, during Ramadan, he did not drink beer at our table. He showed respect. Our dialogue with Schroeder continues until now, and he even visits Turkey periodically," the Turkish leader said. All right. Meanwhile, United States forces carried out over 75 plus airstrikes against ISIS inside of Syria as rebels take control of the country.
Tonight, scenes of triumph across Syria as rebel forces celebrate their stunning victory over the Assad regime. More than 50 years of dictatorship by one family ended in a two-week lightning advance by rebel fighters. Tonight, those fighters shooting open the doors of regime prisons, freeing political prisoners, including women and children, while the marble halls of a tyrant's palace echo with the cries of ordinary people. But Syria's ousted President Bashar al-Assad evading capture, fleeing to Moscow with his family, according to Russian state media. The uprising against him began peacefully in 2011 with calls for democracy, dignity, and reform, but mutated into a pitiless civil war after Assad turned his guns on his own people. For years, that bloody strategy seemed to work. But with his Russian backers bogged down in Ukraine and allies Iran and Hezbollah weakened fighting Israel, the rebel attack revealed a brittle regime that quickly collapsed. The rebels' main leader speaking tonight from a historic mosque in the capital, promising a government for all Syrians, regardless of sect. Some minority groups, though, frightened at how the Islamist fighters will govern. They were once part of al-Qaeda and still considered a terrorist group by the U.S. But for much of Syria, hope.
Now I can understand that my children will not be raised under oppression.
Abdul Kafi Alhamdo and his family survived years of regime bombardment. This was the moment he saw his father for the first time in two decades, reunited after the front lines collapsed.
We're free, Syria! We're free people!
So much emotion there tonight. Raf joins us now. And Raf, what happens in Syria has a hugely significant impact on the rest of the region, including where you are in Israel.
That's right, Hallie. Israel now saying it has deployed troops inside of Syria in a bid to prevent the conflict there spilling over.
Okay, and by the way, the troops that have been deployed by Israel into Syria that has not happened since 1973, when there was a war broke out there in on the Golan Heights involving Egypt. So this is interesting. Again, we're seeing these major events transpiring, guys, in the Middle East.
Over into Israeli-controlled territory.
1,000 U.S. troops are based in Syria, with the country a haven for terror groups that target Americans. Now, late today, the U.S. military says it struck 75 terror targets across Syria. Ali Rafa has the latest from the White House.
At long last, the Assad regime has fallen.
Tonight, President Biden reacting to the fall of the Assad regime and quick military action in Syria.
Just today, U.S. forces conducted a dozen of precision strikes.
Those strikes hitting more than 75 ISIS targets, including camps, leaders, and operatives. The White House hoping to prevent a resurgence by the terror group in the region.
We're clear-eyed about the fact that ISIS will try to take advantage of any vacuum. We will not let that happen.
The president committing to protecting the roughly 900 U.S. troops he says will remain in the country, while offering a blueprint of future U.S. support.
I'll send senior officials from my administration to the region as well to establish a transition away from the Assad regime.
Despite this, the president expressing cautious optimism after the rebel takeover of Syria.
It's a moment of historic opportunity.
While making clear the country's future is still uncertain, acknowledging the connection between the rebels and terrorist groups.
Make no mistake, some of the rebel groups that took down Assad have their own grim record of terrorism and human rights abuses.
Now, that's important to remember that, because I'm going to show you something in a minute prophetically where we're going.
Mr. Biden also committing to securing the release of Austin Tice, an American journalist and Marine veteran kidnapped in Syria more than a decade ago.
We believe he's alive. We think we can get him back, but we have to identify where he is.
Tice's family, who had criticized the Biden administration for not doing more, hopeful tonight the fall of the Assad regime creates an opportunity to bring Austin home.
We are hopefully and prayerfully and joyfully waiting to get the news that Austin is walking free today.
All right, I want to show you this headline. In Fight for Syria, quote, a battle for domination of the entire Middle East. All right, when we scroll down on this article, it says whether the rebels succeed or not, and they did succeed, experts believe that an expected brutal fight to control Damascus and by extension Syria would constitute the most important confrontation yet. Let me say this again, the most important confrontation yet, and a struggle to remake the region. One ignited on October 7, 2023 with the Hamas-led attack on Israel. The main regional players, Israel, Iran, and Turkey. Let me say that again. Israel, Iran, and Turkey. All three of these are main players in Gog and Magog. All have a stake in the outcome, which means that the, quote, ripples will affect not just the Middle East, but also global powers like the U.S. and Russia. Quote, Syria is the barometer for how power dynamics in the region are changing. This was according to the head of the Middle East and Northern African Center at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington. Quote, it is in for a period of chaos in a region that is already on fire. Now look at this. Saudi Arabia appeals for avoidance of, quote, chaos and division in Syria. Saudi Arabia called on Sunday for efforts to prevent Syria from falling into disarray after the overthrow of Assad by the Islamist rebels. Quote, the kingdom affirms its support for the brotherly Syrian people and their choice, while appealing for concerted efforts to preserve the unity of Syria and the cohesion of its people, so as to prevent it from falling into chaos and division, the Saudi Foreign Ministry said in a statement. Again, Saudi Arabia is wanting to avoid, quote, chaos and division in Syria. So now here's this is the real question. So while the people of Syria are rejoicing for a free Syria from the tyranny of Assad, who has now fled to Russia, what is this setting a stage for? I believe this is setting a stage. Now, this won't happen overnight, so don't expect this to happen next week. But you're going to see over time, you're going to start seeing a slow alliance of Middle Eastern nations conforming And I'm going to use some verbiage from, let me pull this scripture up. I'm going to show you, this is where I believe we're heading in the near future. This may be the next major prophetic event on the horizon. Let me pull this up. I want to take you to, we're in Psalms chapter 83. Psalm 83. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. And you can see in a footnote here, this means an uproar. The enemies will make an uproar. Now, what is all this uproar about? Those who hate you, who is you? You is the Jewish people. This is Israel. This is what, that's who it is referring to here. Those who hate you have lifted up their head. In other words, they've caught notice. They had their heads down for a while. They were regrouping. They were reestablishing things. They were establishing their new government. They were putting things in order and structure. But then their heads begin to perk up. They begin to make a tumult. There's chaos happening. Something has garnished their attention. What could it be? Quote, verse 3, they have taken crafty counsel against your people. Uh-oh, something's happening here. The psalmist says, Asaph, the psalmist said that the time would come when these nations, and we're going to talk about who these nations are. They will take crafty counsel. They will conspire together against Israel. Look, watch this. And consulted together against your sheltered ones. Now, this is a huge clue right here, guys. Huge clue. Sheltered ones. Let me tell you why this is a huge clue here. It tells you that when this prophecy is fulfilled, it will happen when Israel's dwelling in a sheltered environment. They will have the gates. They will have the bars. They will have the walls up. Whereas when you go to Ezekiel 38:39, it says they are a people of an unwalled villages, unwalled cities, a people dwelling in peace. Two different dynamics. Again, this war is the Asaph refers to the Jewish people as sheltered ones, whereas Ezekiel describes Israel in the latter days as a people dwelling in peace, unwalled cities, no bars, no gates. Y'all see that? Now watch this. Verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. There is going to be the objective. Let me pull this away for a second, talk to you for a moment. I know the people, I mean, this is amazing. This is wonderful for the people that's being liberated from tyranny, just like in the 90s when those people were liberated from Saddam Hussein. And same thing, they pulled down the statue. The U.S. troops went in there in the Gulf War, and it was 21 days, and they pulled down the statue, and the people were celebrating in the streets, and they were liberated. Why? Because this tyrant had been removed from position. But I'm telling you, friends, the jubilation will be short-lived. Now, again, I'm not saying this is going to happen in a week or 2 weeks or a month. It could be years. I know I hate to burst your bubble because some of y'all are hoping that God's going to blow the trumpet tomorrow. And I'm not saying he couldn't. The rapture could happen today. But when I'm talking about these prophetic wars, some of y'all think that, you know, this is going to happen next week. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's going to happen that quickly. Things, guys, Peter said, you got to remember this. Peter said, 1,000 years is likened unto a day, and a day is likened unto 1,000 years. His time is not our time. His ways are above our ways. Come on, somebody. We're on his time clock. He's not on ours. Solomon said there's a purpose and a plan for every season under heaven. We know that when the fullness of time has come, certain events will fall into motion. We've talked about that many times on this on these broadcasts. So is this a major event taking place in Syria? Absolutely. Is this a stepping stone heading in the direction for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy? Absolutely. I mean, we can see it, guys. Look at the alliances that are happening before your eyes. Look at Turkey. Look at Russia. Look at Iran. They have an alliance together. These are three major players in Gog and Magog. But again, I've always said that Syria is conveniently missing from the equation in Ezekiel 38, 39, and it makes no sense to me. Why would Syria, and again, this is not my, I'm going to go back to what these articles said, what these journalists said, what these experts have said. Syria plays a major role in the Middle East. So why would Syria not be directly involved in Ezekiel 38, 39? Guys, I think the only logical answer to that question is that Syria, something major has happened to Syria, resulting in them being dismantled or removed from the equation. Now, the only logical explanation of that is likely Isaiah 17 has been fulfilled, which is Damascus left in a ruinous heap. Now, okay, so what we're doing is we're peeling it like layers of an onion. Why this? Then we get to the next question. Then why that? And we peel the next question. Then we go to that. So how would Damascus be left in a ruinous heap? Well, again, we talked about this on our last podcast. We don't know what these Syrian rebels are going to do in the long run. Are they going to form a resurgence of ISIS? And if they do that, all of the Christians in that region are going to come under great threat. Number one. Number two, they will have an objective, and that is to go after Israel. And if there is chemical weapons, which there is, if there's biological weapons, which there is, in Syria, in Damascus, and they decide down the road that they're going to use these weapons, for example, let's just say Psalm 83 war, where there is a crafty council. There is a coalition of nations forming with one agenda, with one objective, and that is to cut off Israel from becoming a nation. Now, how are they going to do that? They're going to try to do this militarily. Let's go back to the scripture. Look, let me go back to verse 4. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. See, I'm telling you, same spirit behind it. This is not, they can say peace and this is going to be great, but remember, peace and safety always bring sudden destruction. Don't forget that. Look at verse 5. For they have consulted together with one consent. Here it is, one consent. And again, one heart. One purpose. They form a confederacy against you. All right. Then you have this whole list right here of who is coming. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarites, the Gibal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. So this is the coalition right here. Who is this? Well, when you break this down, guys, it is, here is the list of players that's going to form this coalition against the nation of Israel. Pay attention. Palestine, sound familiar? Jordan, the Saudis, Egypt, Hezbollah, Lebanon or the Lebanese, Hamas, and Syria with the help of Iraq. Let me say that one more time. You got the Palestinians, the Jordanians, the Saudis, the Egyptians, Hezbollah, the Lebanese, Hamas, Syria, and Iraq. So notice, now I know some of you are reading this list, and you're like, how is that really? Egypt would do this? Jordan would do this? Guys, go study history. Go study 1947, 48. Study 1967. Study 1973. Many of these nations were involved in those wars in 67 and 73. I'm telling you, it's going to happen again. And Consequently, Syria right here is involved in this war of Psalm 83. Now, this is the hypothesis that I've always painted. If this is the next major war which Syria is involved, and they use, again, and they attempt to use these biological chemical weapons against the Jewish people in Israel, Israel has already warned that it will change the face of Syria. And if they're launched from Damascus, this could very well fulfill Isaiah 17 with the destruction of Damascus and wipe completely Syria out of the equation, because Israel will come in and just completely obliterate them. And then they will no longer have the ability to even be involved in a future war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. So guys, again, this is extremely important to pay attention to this too, because all the dynamics are coming together for, again, what the prophets foresaw in the future. So I'm going to be paying close attention to what's going on in the Middle East with these nations. When you talk about Syria and you talk about Iran and you talk about Turkey and you talk about Russia, you need to be paying attention. These are major players of Bible prophecy. And of course, Israel's right dab in the middle. They are the bullseye. They are the fig tree that Christ talks about in Matthew 24. He said, "Behold the fig tree. When its leaves become tender and it begins to blossom, you'll know that summer is near." Even so, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, Luke 21, 28, hold up your head, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, we appreciate you coming on to the broadcast today. Again, don't forget to like and share this broadcast. Also, pick up our free app today. It's available on Apple and Android stores. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go. And if, guys, and as always, our ministry is a partner-supported ministry. We don't sell merchandise. Everything is free. Podcast free. App is free. If you'd like to support this ministry, whatever that looks like to you, if you'd like to partner with us, we'd appreciate that. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or other ways on the website through PayPal or Cash App or whatnot. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, thank you so much, guys. And again, don't forget tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's Monday night, and it's been 3 weeks since we've done this, so it's going to be great to get back with our ETH family. If you're listening by Rumble, maybe you're coming from Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or some other source outside of YouTube, you need to come over here and subscribe to us on our YouTube channel, so that way you can join us live tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, as we come together as a corporate body, and pray for one another's needs and situations and the matter in the Middle East and everything else that's going on today. So we're looking forward to being with you tonight. So until then, I pray the Lord's blessings be upon you. May his favor and his countenance shine upon you today. And we'll see you guys at 8 p.m. Eastern. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.